Good morning, my friends. Good morning and welcome. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whelan. Very excited to have you with us here tonight. It is Saturday, May 5th, 2007, midnight here in the Central Time Zone. Welcome to all of you listening on frequency 3.215 on your shortwave dial. Welcome to all of you listening online at republicbroadcasting.org. And if you're over at our website, franklyspeakingradio.com, you'll see information on our guest tonight. He's the author of numerous books, including the one we're discussing tonight, Weather Warfare, The Military's Plan to Draft Mother Nature. Please welcome to the program, Jerry E. Smith. Jerry, welcome back, sir.
Hello, Frank.
And thank you very much for your time tonight. You know,
speaking of which,
yes,
we spoke earlier. Since you're not coming back to me during the breaks, I got to say it live. We spoke earlier, and I mentioned that I'm doing another RBN show in just a few hours. I'm going to be on the American Activist with Don Harkin at 10 a.m. Central Time, and I had expressed then some reluctance to go more than a couple hours with you, but I'm feeling good. I'm
oh,
wide
wonderful.
Awake. You know, if you don't have anybody standing in the wings, I'll continue trying to go an extra hour or two.
Oh,
with
wonderful!
You.
Well, I really appreciate that. It's incredibly generous of you, and let me, of course, invite the listeners to participate as well. Our phone number, ladies and gentlemen, 800-313-9443. Toll free and worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. If we keep Jerry entertained, he'll stick around with us. And that's what we're looking to do.
Yeah. Now, well, it's not only is it generous of me, it's generous of Don, because I'm going to be sound asleep on Don's show.
Well, don't say that, because then he'll blame me.
Well, yeah.
Well, let's go to the phones. Bill O'Brien is on the phone with us. Bill, welcome to the show.
Hey, Frank. How you doing?
Doing well, sir.
Long time no hear. A lot
yeah.
of things going on. Hey, a question about the weather modification I have.
Okay.
Yeah, and this is, and we probably can surmise an assumption, but I want to ask a question. In 1977, October, the UN actually passed a resolution which prohibited countries from using weather modification as a mechanism of warfare, and nothing ever came of it after, as a follow-up. I'm wondering what happened. Why all of a sudden this code of silence from the UN, if the author knows that that the UN would go to such radical means as actually making a proposal and a mandate for all the countries to not use it militarily, then all of a sudden they drop it like a hot potato in the late 70s.
Actually, I spend about 60 pages answering your question.
Okay.
It's not really clear exactly why there was this silence, why there was this great lack of interest in the thing. As I said earlier, the treaty is the Convention on the Prohibition of Military or Any Other Hostile Use of Environmental Modification Techniques, also known as the ENMOD Treaty. Only 70 nations have signed on. The treaty required that the signatory nations hold a periodic review of the treaty every 5 years. The first review occurred 7 years after it was ratified, and the second review, which should have occurred in 88, never happened. The next one after that never happened, never happened, never happened. There has been one review, and that was it, and the review, half of the signatory bodies didn't even bother to send a rep. Of those who did show up, they bickered endlessly and could agree on absolutely nothing beyond the fact that we're going to have this meeting again, which they never did.
In other words, it just led a dying committee.
Exactly.
Okay.
My guess is that there was the loggerheads was between the military and the Greens, that the Greens wanted the thing to have teeth. And the military wanted the thing to just go away.
Let me jump in here, gentlemen. Short break, folks, as we pause. Please stay with us. Be aware of our phone number, 800-313-9443. Back in 3 minutes with Jerry Smith and your calls.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. Website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710, 312-224-2710.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Living all the miles that you've been through, looking like a train wreck, wearing too much makeup, burden that you carry more than one soul could ever bear. So sad.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, my friends. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Our special guest tonight, Jerry Smith, author of the book Weather Warfare. Jerry, welcome back. And I also want to welcome our caller, Bill O'Brien, past guest on the show. Welcome back to you, sir.
Well, it's good to hear from you, Frank. It's been too long.
I know it.
Things have been happening. We'll talk some other time about what's going on. There's a lot going on.
I
just find this a very compelling discussion.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's amazing. There's been a lot of information, and all of a sudden there's a great lack. We know weather modification's been used all over. My question is, outside of control, the basic question, there's going to be a control factor here to make the populations do what they want to do. Is there anything more specific as far as our agenda is concerned, as far as weather modification? Because let's face it, we're still facing droughts, and areas are still getting inundated with rain. It's great for population control, but now, as you know, with the honeybee situation, people are now starting to focus in on the fact that we have a food problem in this country. Up to this point, we're now importing 50% of our food. So it's actually counterproductive for to use weather as a weapon, a controlling mechanism, as far as what they did in Katrina and whatnot. So I'm curious where they're going with this.
Well, who are they?
or whoever it is. The government's obviously using the military to develop this technology, and the people who are giving them the orders are the ones setting the agenda. I don't know who they are. They're the faceless nameless. We call them the Illuminati, but that's who I'm talking about.
Well, there's an awful lot of players here. Let me say...
I'm just curious if there was a specific agenda that you're aware of.
Well, there are lots of agendas because there's lots of players. When the book is titled Weather Warfare, the Military's Plan to Draft Mother Nature.
I understand.
But a title is really not a listing of the book's contents. It's more like a cry from the bookshelf for a potential reader's attention. And so when I talk about weather warfare, I'm actually talking about the entire environmental spectrum, not just the weather, but volcanoes, tsunamis, earthquakes, all environmental processes, the ionosphere, etc., the magnetosphere. Mm-hmm. And when I say the military's plan, that's just a handle so that somebody would get a rough idea of what it's about.
Okay.
In fact, I talk about more than just the military, but also political interests, financial interests. One area of this, to give you an idea of agendas, is you remember Enron, the energy giant that went so spectacularly tango uniform a few years back.
Yeah, 2000,
Okay, Enron developed something called weather derivatives. Mm-hmm. They used the stock market to bet on whether the temperature was going to go up or down on a given date. And they were $1 billion into weather derivatives.
Really?
Now, I live in a casino town. I live in Reno, Nevada. And it's inconceivable to me that somebody would sit down at a craps table and put $1 billion on the cum line and not have the dice loaded.
I agree with you. The only people who go to Las Vegas and think they've got a chance when they're gambling blind are they're fools. Las Vegas never makes money or Reno makes money on people winning. So I agree with you.
Yeah.
But my feeling is, it's the old saying from the right stuff. You know, no bucks, no Buck Rogers, and the military thrives on the money, and the shadow government is the one who's financing this. That answers my question. Your topic of discussion is very compelling. I'm going to get off the air and let someone else who may have a question have a chance. Thank you so much for your time, folks.
Thank you very much, Bill. Appreciate it. Jerry, I think that, it's a very, very important topic that he brought up there. And obviously, as you said, you devote quite a bit of space in the book to this.
Oddly enough, I didn't go anywhere near as much as I wanted to. In this book, I decided to stick with what I could prove. My first book for Adventures Unlimited Press, HARP, The Ultimate Weapon of the Conspiracy, is mostly speculation about possible conspiracies behind the technology, about possible agendas, in which I look at the HARP project, and we will probably get to it here in the course of the evening.
Yes.
And I look at all the claims of the of what this technology might be able to do, and I ask the question, who would want to do that, and why? And in this book, Weather Warfare, the Military's Plan to Draft Mother Nature, I took a play out of Nick Begich's playbook, in which in his book about HARP, Angels Don't Play This HARP, he nailed what, where, when, how, and left out who and why, which opened the door for my book.
Mm-hmm.
In this book, I decided to go with the Nick's route and nail who, what, where, when, how, and not get into why.
Yes,
and really not much into who beyond the obvious patent holders, and I really do get into patent holders. I have four appendices. I think it's three appendices in the book. One appendices is the 12 patents that HARP is built on, and the other is a list of over 150 patents for technologies for meddling with the environment, particularly cloud seeding and weather modification, but a variety of these things, because it is real and it's out there, and I wanted the reader to understand that this was not science fiction. This was not Buck Rogers.
Yeah, well said. Well, that's the other thing, too, there have been a series of projects, honestly, and I've got a list of them here, and I don't know if you recall what they are, the details of them all offhand, but just to go through it, Operation Popeye, Project Cirrus, Project Skyfire, Project Storm Fury, Project Faultless, and Project Seal. I mean, this runs the gamut as far as official projects that were designed to either simulate or instigate a variety of different sort of weather modification techniques.
Exactly. Project Cirrus was the first serious attempt in the modern era using modern scientific techniques to steer a hurricane. And to this day, it's hotly debated whether or not it actually succeeded in steering a hurricane. But it does give us a window on how the military and how corporations deal with modification. And that Project Cirrus was 1947. Scientists from General Electric and the Navy flew out into a hurricane that was safely out in the Atlantic and attempted to change its course by dropping 200 pounds of dry ice into it. Now, I know that sounds like a ridiculously small amount to try and fool with something as big as a hurricane. The curious thing is promptly after they seeded the hurricane, it abruptly changed course and came on land near Savannah, left 1,400 people homeless and killed a couple of people. Oops. The scientist in charge of the project was absolutely certain that it had worked, that he had succeeded in steering the hurricane. It went the dead opposite direction he wanted to go in, but he was convinced that he had succeeded in moving a hurricane. Now, the Navy was convinced they had a problem and cried national security and classified all the paperwork so that none of the lawyers of the injured people could sue the government. Meanwhile, the lawyers for General Electric rounded up the scientists and said, shut up and sit down. And they from that point forward, that scientist, every public pronouncement and paper he published had to go through the lawyers first and get their approval before he could say anything.
Mm.
And so he was convinced. He was 99% convinced that it worked, and it never appears in any of his public speaking or any of his published papers. It is in the final classified report when it got released a decade later. And when the Navy got around to finally releasing the paperwork, they trotted out a peer review panel that looked over the science and said, no, this didn't work. This is just nonsense. He was wrong. Now,
this
established the modus operandi for dealing with problems of this nature. The government simply says it didn't happen. In this case, they just slap it under security. You can't see it. You can't sue us.
That's right.
Another classic example of this is Area 51.
Mm-hmm.
Area 51 doesn't exist, you know, except that some Lockheed workers were hired to go to Area 51 and burn some trash. And it turned out it was toxic, but they weren't informed it was toxic, and they all got sick. And they sued for workman's comp. And the Air Force said, well, Area 51 doesn't exist. You got sick someplace else because you didn't get sick on our property because that property doesn't exist.
Wow.
So the Lockheed workers actually went to the Soviet Union and got Soviet spy satellite photos of Area 51 and proved in court, see, it does exist. Now, how does the U.S. government make something like that go away? The movie Independence Day, ID4. Mm. The U.S. Air Force dumped $2 million into its production costs. Now, one could say, oh, well, you know, it's a movie about fighter pilots. You know, it's a recruiting film. No, Will Smith's character was a Marine fighter pilot. Why would the Air Force be recruiting for the Marines? No, the movie takes place largely in Area 51, and there's a phrase called dead agenting. They wanted dead agent stories about Area 51 by making it so that whenever anybody talked to each other about it, they'd go, oh, yeah, I saw that in a sci-fi movie. That's not real, is it?
Oh, wow. That's fantastic information. Hang on, we're up to another break. Folks, please stay with us. Only 3 minutes. Back with our special guest tonight, the author of the book Weather Warfare, Jerry E. Smith. Stay with us. Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
World War III? Rising fuel prices? Financial collapse? Trucker strike? North American Union? Our world has become a very fragile place, and we need to be prudent and plan ahead. Don't wait for an impending crisis to become reality. Then it will be too late. Stoves and More wants to help give you freedom from the systems of the world. If the grid is down and fossil fuels are not available to you, how would you heat your home, cook your food, and heat your water? People, we need to be more independent and able to take care of ourselves in a natural disaster, political crisis, or financial crisis. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you the independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. With the right application, you'll be able to use these stoves all year long, not just during the winter months. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at stovesandmoreonline.com. Food, water, and a wood cook stove are keys to your survival in a crisis. Take action.
Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whale, and our special guest tonight is Jerry E. Smith, author of the book Weather Warfare, The Military's Plan to Draft Mother Nature. Write that down. Go to your local bookstore and ask for it, because you're going to find an incredible amount of evidence, factual evidence that you can all research for yourself, which can prove to anyone out there, even the biggest skeptics among us, that these things are going on. They have been going on, and because there have been any sort of results, I guess success or failure, the fact that they're showing some sort of effect on weather means that these programs are continuing and will continue to go on. Jerry, welcome back.
I am here.
I'm glad for that. And when you left off, you were just talking about the, incorporating various things into the media in order to throw people off the scent. I think that's fascinating, because during the break I was thinking, you know, weather modification, where have I seen that before? There was an episode of The X-Files, in fact, where there was something about weather modification, although that was a little bit more bizarre on the more esoteric side, as you'd expect from that show. But the point is that you know, weather modification, even though it's on the record as having occurred in some capacity, a lot of capacities, I guess, over time, it's still something most people deem to be a conspiracy theory.
Yeah, and there are a number of aspects of this, a number of reasons for this. I believe that after the U.S. signed the ENMOD treaty and they cut the federal budget, the word went out to treat weather modification as either don't mention it or treat it as science fiction or treat it as far distant future stuff. We don't. The powers that be really did not want the American public to get the idea that it was an ongoing event.
It's amazing stuff. I'd like to go through some of the other ones, if you recall the details.
Project. I wrote it.
Oh, I know. But there's so much, man. Even with writing the book, and I know you spent years putting it together and compiling
seven.
All this information.
Only 7 years.
Oh, that's all. Okay.
And then I hastily wrote it in 7 months.
Well, it's a lot of information, and for anybody to have it memorized is just incomprehensible to me. But I guess if anybody does, it's you. Project Faultless was an intriguing example of, if I'm not mistaken, trying to find out if they could stimulate earthquakes.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's a long story, but I'll try to keep it as brief as possible. As you may know, the Nevada test site became home for America's atomic testing, and there have been approximately 1,000 detonations of nuclear devices at the NTS. About 100 were above ground, and the rest have been below ground. The NTS is just 90 miles from Las Vegas. In the beginning, Las Vegas was very small, and the above ground testing was sort of a larky thing. I mean, people would actually go to Las Vegas and consider, you know, hope to see an atom bomb. They would drink atomic cocktails and get atomic hairdos. It was almost chic to watch a bomb go off.
That's amazing.
But as the bombs got bigger, there was the limited test ban treaty, and the limited test ban treaty drove all the bombs underground. At about the same time, the bombs were getting really big, and the bigger the bombs were, the more Las Vegas shook, and the tourists were getting frightened, and Howard Hughes was pissed off because it was breaking his windows and scaring his customers. And Howard Hughes went to the Atomic Energy Commission and said, look, you guys knock it off. And he was rather vehement about it. And so they decided to move the big bombs someplace else. And it boiled down to two possible sites, one an island off of Alaska, which is where they ended up. And they tried a site in central Nevada, as far away from anything as they could get. And this site, they were going to do a number of tests there. They even had the second test that had a code name for Adagio. And the first test was called Faultless. And the deal was is that they wanted to do a couple of things here. They wanted to assess the quality of the site. This is called site characterization. That's what they're doing at Yucca Mountain right now. And the Yucca Mountain is on the NTS. And they wanted to calibrate the difference between natural earthquakes and atom bomb-caused earthquakes. By doing this, they could tell when atom bombs were detonated around the world, and they could verify counterproliferation treaties. They could verify violations of treaties and so forth.
Mm.
Oh, I hear the bumper music.
Yes, you do. They're coming quick. Folks, please stay with us. Only 3 minutes, then we'll be back with our special guest, Jerry Smith, author of the book Weather Warfare. Again, phenomenal stuff. His website, jerryesmith.com. And, of course, you can always go to the publisher's website, adventuresunlimitedpress.com. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097 or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, my friends. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whelan, and our special guest tonight, Jerry Smith, author of the book Weather Warfare. Welcome back to you, sir. And when we left off, we were talking about Project Faultless and all the different intricacies of this thing.
Right. And the reason it was called Faultless, as best anybody can tell, is that part of this site characterization process is they wanted to put this really big bomb on a fault and see if it would set off an earthquake. And the guys in charge of this thing were convinced it couldn't possibly happen, so they named it Faultless. Well, when the bomb went off, and the bomb was in place 3,200 feet below the surface, when the bomb went off, the surface rose by 15 feet. Fault blocks, fault lines split thousands of feet in both directions. And not just on that side of the valley, but on the other side of the valley as well, and drop the valley floor by 10 feet.
That's amazing.
Yeah. This is one of the best documented cases that atom bombs can set off earthquakes. Now, I go on to a number of other researches, a number of other studies that show very possibly that all atom bombs set off earthquakes. This is something that has been very carefully kept out of the mainstream.
Wow.
A scientist, a physicist at a Canadian university did a study of all earthquakes 5.0 or larger and for the 20th century. And the reason he chose that as the make-break line is because in the early part of the century, there wasn't enough equipment, wasn't sensitive enough, it wasn't in enough locations to be able to spot smaller quakes. But from 5 and above, everywhere in the world, basically, it got registered. So by spotting, by charting all the 0.5s and above, and and he analyzed the frequency of them from before 1950 and after 1950, when we start doing lots of atomic testing,
mm-hmm.
And he found that since the development of atomic testing, the frequency basically doubled. In the first half of the century, there was about 68 a week. No, 68 a year. There were about 68 a year every year for the 1900 to 1950. And then 127 a year after that point. He also did some analysis of specific known nuke shots and when earthquakes occurred. And particularly when killer quakes occurred. And mm-hmm. every killer quake, that is, every quake that had 1,000 or more fatalities, happened within 72 hours of a quake.
Oh, wow.
So there's some strong circumstantial evidence that something is going on here. And I try not to get too speculative. I try mm-hmm. not to get too deep into weird science on this, but there is this may point to Newtonian physics not being able to explain all the phenomena that we're living in. That is, Newtonian physics is the four dimensional physics that that they teach in high school. That is basically motion and kinetics and mm-hmm. and stress and whatnot. And that there may indeed be other physics, that we're not exploring, and this is to say such things as multiple dimensions, and it's quite possible that a number of theoretical physics such as quantum physics are now convinced that the universe has more than four dimensions. And I can't keep up with it. Every time I read a paper on the subject, they've changed how many dimensions there are in the universe. I remember about 10 years ago, I went to a planetarium show where the voice of Leonard Nimoy explained the Big Bang, and according to that script writer, the universe began with 14 dimensions, and like the first 20th of a second, it collapsed to 9 dimensions, and now we're in about 6. And every time I read, like I said, every time I read these things, they change how many dimensions there are. But we're somewhere between 4 and 9, I think. And if there are multiple dimensions, then there's multiple phenomena. There are things we're not aware of that we create an effect here, and it does something over there because we don't see the connection between here and there because it's not in the four dimensions we're in. It's going through one of those other dimensions, which may explain UFOs.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But that's real speculative, and so I just very gently put it there so that the reader who's interested can follow up on that as a research thread.
That's fantastic. Folks, again, our phone number 800-313-9443. Let's go to Jim in West Virginia. Jim, welcome to the show.
Oh, I love your show. Once in a while, you keep bumping into things I know a little something about. I've heard of the fourth dimension this time and the fifth dimension is temperature, and I've heard as high as 22 dimensions, but anyway, that aside. Okay, my dad was the patent agent for a very large chemical company, okay? The patent agent for many years. Mm-hmm. And the American chemical companies learned very quickly during the 60s and the 70s, if they wanted to broadcast their inventions to the rest of the world, which did not pay attention to our patents, which would make stuff over there and ship it over here, and our Justice Department would not even stop it at the border. But many companies learned, do not patent something, because all these people from the third world would line up at the patent office every day to find out what new patents came out. When did the patent trail die? And because most developments now are not patented, that's the last thing you want to do, unless somebody can look at a device and say, oh, I know how that's made and copy it. But what I'm trying to say is, when did the patent trail drop? That's what I was going to ask your wonderful guest.
Wonderful.
That's not an area I have any particular knowledge of, I'm afraid. I'm flipping to the back of my book here with a list of patents. You know, I ought to put this list of patents up on my website. I have patents that begin in the 1920s, and the last one is May of 2003.
Well, I was going to say, if the last thing...
The one of May 27, 2003, Method and Device for Cleaning the Atmosphere.
Well, I was going to say, whatever is going on by anybody who really wants to control the weather, they ain't going to broadcast it by patenting it. I'll let you gentlemen go at it. So, at any rate, yeah, I was kind of curious if they were ongoing, because a lot of times you have all these things of patent this, patent that, and you'll make $1 million. Forget it, a patent search costs $1 million. Well, not quite. But the patent search alone makes it prohibitively expensive. And then you find it's either application of existing technology or else it's not new and novel device. It's just a design patent, and you have to go through all this rigmarole to get a patent. And then the third world steals it, manufactures it, brings it over here, and dumps it in our market. So,
yeah, that's true.
Right. Anyway. Now, my purpose in bringing the patents forward was simply to establish that I've got 150 patents here of devices, methodologies, for altering the atmosphere or other manipulating other environmental processes, that this isn't just pie in the sky, that people have been working on it and have successfully patented over 150 patents on the subject. And as you say, if a lot of folks are not patenting it, then there have to be a lot of other techniques and processes and devices out there that I can't readily access through Google.
That's what I'm saying. And I'll let you gentlemen carry on from there, because there has to be more going on than what is patented. I'll let you gentlemen go. Once again, thank you for all your wonderful subjects.
Thank you so much, Jim, for being a part of the show. Fantastic stuff. You know, I think Jim brings up something else, too. Aside from just a lot of it's just the available documentation. Wouldn't you think that maybe because there are so many players around the planet and so many different governments and private industries who are involved in this weather modification, that might be one reason why no one is being charged under this treaty as a violator, simply because to bring up the violation would be to bring up the issue, you know, to public knowledge?
Right. That's very possible. What I see is it seems to be more the problem is that there are so few signatories to it, and the treaty was designed as a club that you get the benefits of the protection of it if you're a signatory, but if you're not a signatory, then you can go whack your neighbor and he can't scream because you're not bound by it.
Right.
And there have been a number of strange borderline cases, like the U.S. and Colombia during the drug war. Colombia recognizes that the insurgency in Colombia funds the insurgency with narcotics, and so the suppression of the narcotics is also a suppression of the insurgency. And so the U.S. and the Colombian military have quite openly use defoliants and so forth to take out big swaths of Colombia. But since Colombia is nuking itself, they get away with it.
Wow. That's pretty amazing stuff. Let's keep going with the calls, folks. Again, our number 800-313-9443. Let's go to Ron in Texas. Ron, welcome to the show.
Good evening, Frank. I think you recognize my voice.
Oh, yeah.
I do. And some people call me the man from Cornell. I'm a physicist, and your guest just piqued my interest when he said Newtonian physics. I've got a few questions. If you just note them real quickly, and then I'll move off the air so you can answer them. If you just a quick note. number one, you're talking about the nukes, and you're talking about that data. I think that's really interesting data. I kind of wonder what the spread of the data, that is the standard deviation, looks like, and if I can find it anywhere. So it's nukes. What about the spread, uncertainty of the information? Number two, you threw out the idea that because of this, as I see it, because of this strange phenomena, perhaps we have to go into other dimensions and think about other realities. I will tell you, from the physics standpoint, physicists always work in an infinitude of dimensions, orthogonal dimensions. This is the way you work in really complex problems anyway. So the reality is that you do work in multiple dimensions anyway, as many as you want. Number three was that the standard deviation, the idea of Newtonian physics may be out. I don't know how you get that. I don't know how you jump from the data that you got in nukes to maybe Newtonian physics is out. Newtonian physics actually is just an approximation. If you use kind of a combination of quantum mechanics and relativistic theory, that in a certain dimension, that is, you know, the live dimension you get walking around, that reduces pretty much to regular Newtonian physics. Newtonian physics in that realm is deadly accurate. Okay, that's about all I have to say. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Ron.
Well, thank you, sir. I didn't mean to imply that Newtonian physics doesn't work in the realm we walk in. The phenomena of the atomic bomb may involve, we know how to put. I'm kind of sputtering here, trying to. I've got having a train wreck in my head of a dozen trying to think of a dozen things that are all the same say at the same time. One of the things that was a surprise with the atom bomb was the EMP, the electromagnetic pulse. We first detonated a bomb in 45 and discovered the EMP almost 20 years later in 64. And the EMP may be an indication of that the bomb is working on other realms or in other dimensions. For some of the backup on this, one is from the British science magazine New Scientist. 12 October 1978, they reported, physicists in Germany and England believe the 1978 earthquake in Tabas, T-A-B-A-S, Iran, in which at least 25,000 people were killed, may have been triggered by an underground nuclear explosion. British seismologists believe the Tabas earthquake implies a nuclear test that has gone awry. Moreover, a seismic laboratory in Uppsala, Sweden, recorded a Soviet nuclear test of unusual size, 10 megatons, and I wish I could pronounce this, semi-platininiskink, only 36 hours before. One German scientist specifically implicated this test in the origin of the Tobias disaster. And then the guy I was talking about who had done the study is Gary T. Whiteford, professor of geography at the University of New Brunswick in Canada. And he released a paper entitled Earthquakes and Nuclear Testing, Dangerous Patterns and Trends. And it's been published and republished in a number of different periodicals and so forth. And I picked up an article on his paper in the War and Peace Digest, and that's listed in the bibliography in the back of the book. And there were a couple of other things here. One of the things I found rather remarkable that on a similar vein was that a study conducted in 1975-76 by two Japanese scientists entitled Recent Abnormal Phenomena on Earth and Atomic Power Tests, and the Japanese name I can't even pretend to pronounce, who's the president of the Tokai University, and another unpronounceable name, head of the university's Department of Aerospace Science, concluded, abnormal meteorological phenomena, earthquakes, and fluctuations of the Earth's axis are related to in a direct cause and effect to testing of nuclear devices. Nuclear testing is the cause of abnormal polar motion of the Earth. By applying the dates of nuclear tests with a motion, with a force of more than 150 kilotons, we found it obvious that the position of the pole slid radically at the time of the nuclear explosion. Some of the sudden changes measured up to 1 meter in distance. So if the Earth itself, the whole Earth, is responding to nuclear explosions, there's a lot of guesswork as to what exactly is going on. But if one atom bomb, one spot, perturbs the Earth enough to make the pole slide around by a couple of feet, this is alarming, if nothing else.
Oh, yeah, at the very least. Folks, please stay with us. We're up to another break. Again, taking your calls, 800-313-9443. Stay right with us, back in 3 minutes with our special guest tonight, Jerry Smith, author of the book Weather Warfare.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves and More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heat up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you, from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Take it all lying down, 'cause once I get started, I go to town.
Good morning and welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, a very, very important program here tonight. And we'll get back to it in just a second. Let me remind you, though, that this hour is being provided to you generously by our good friend Grant Hall at privacycrisis.com. Now, obviously, this book, which we've talked about quite extensively over the last couple of weeks, a fantastic how-to book, teaches you how to make yourself virtually invisible. You can be anonymous in how you travel and how you handle your finances and how you work and just in how you live. And this book tells you everything you need to know. And if the information isn't in there, it's provided locations to find the information are provided for you. It's really a fantastic thing. Now, a couple of ways you can get this. You can get the ebook at privacycrisis.com. You can also get the hardcover version there. You can check for a used version on Amazon.com, or you can order it over the phone by calling Borders Bookstore at 702-433-6222. The book, Privacy Crisis, by Grant Hall. And we certainly appreciate him. And we ask you to support all of our sponsors, all of our advertisers, the people who are able to bring you this show and all the shows here on the network. Let's get back to our guest tonight. As I mentioned, very, very important information because we're hearing more about the weather as time goes on. And I really feel this is going to be the big campaign issue in the next presidential election. So pay close attention to what you're hearing, because you never know when you might get a chance to interact with some politician and be able to drop some terms on them that will just blow their minds. Jerry Smith, author of the book Weather Warfare, welcome back, sir.
Yes, sir.
Amazing stuff.
Well, so the reason we brought up, the reason you brought up, the reason it's in the book, Project Faultless, is it's in the section entitled, the chapter entitled Earthquakes on Demand, in which, again, the NMOD treaty expressly states not only can you not use the weather as a weapon, you cannot induce earthquakes or volcanic eruptions as a weapon. And a number of people have commented they would not have said you can't do it if there wasn't a way to do it.
Right on.
And so I have a whole chapter on the possibilities of intentional earthquake generation. And one of the there are a half dozen different ways that humans have inadvertently caused earthquakes. And so my contention is, if we can do it by mistake once, we can figure out what we did and do it again intentionally.
I agree with that, and I think it's very, very important because, obviously when you can blame the weather for, the annihilation of a city or something like that, there's no accountability, there's no congressional approval, there's no voter backlash, there's no poll backlash, there's no impeachment talk, nothing like that. It's a brilliant, devious, strategic way to take out your enemies, and it is being utilized and I think perfected at some level.
Exactly. Remember, that's exactly what Dr. Gordon J.F. McDonald said, that technology will make available to the leaders of the major nations a variety of techniques for conducting secret warfare. And he talked about this whole spectrum of being able to manipulate all of the Earth's geophysical properties, and this is called geophysical warfare. And he wrote, "The key to geophysical warfare is the identification of environmental instabilities, to which the addition of a small amount of energy would release vastly greater amounts of energy."
Yeah, it's
an example of this is another one of the projects you mentioned, Project Steel.
Yes.
And Project Steel was an attempt to build a tsunami bomb during World War II, and they succeeded.
Yes, and I want to hear about this. I know the listeners do as well. Jerry Smith has agreed to stay with us for another hour, folks. A unique and wonderful, generous opportunity for you guys to ask your questions, which we'll get back to the phone calls as soon as we hear more about Project Seal. All that and more coming up in about 90 seconds after we pause here for a brief station ID. Please stay with us for more Frankly Speaking Radio.